The Swain Event Podcast is driven by Beatty Chevrolet. For your new and pre-owned vehicle shopping needs, visit BeattyChevrolet.com.
Beatty Chevrolet saves you money. 2.9% APR or $5,000 total value on new Silverado 1500s. New Equinox with 1.9% APR plus no payments for 90 days or $2,500 total cash allowance at Beatty Chevrolet.
It's time for the Swain Event with your host, Jason Swain.
My man.
Real sports talk for the real sports fan.
All you chumps are going to bow when I whoop him.
It's time for the Swain Event, fueled by Dead End Barbecue.
Get into his mouth and a red flag.
Good morning. It is that time of the day, that time of the week for the Swain Event, fueled by Dead End Barbecue. Ben McKee, Go Ball 247. I'm Jason Swain, live from the Low T Central Studio. Ben McKee from my location undisclosed. What it do?
Good morning. How are you?
What it do, Ben McKee?
What it do? How are you?
Looks like you in the background. Looks like you in Detroit, Michigan.
Not quite. I'm in just north of Cincinnati, Ohio, splitting up the drive. Drove halfway, a little over halfway last night. And then as soon as we get done here this morning, going to drive the rest of the way, obviously, to the Motor City, to 8 Mile, to talk to some players and coaches later today.
It's that time, ain't it? It is that time. Tennessee, a chance to go to the Elite Eight, where not a lot of Tennessee teams have been. Tennessee is the favorite, should be the favorite. And action starts today, but Tennessee get going tomorrow. So I'm getting nervous, man. This is when I get nervous. Closer to game time, and one shot can send you home. One shot can allow you to advance. So we got basketball to talk about. The first scrimmage was yesterday. Pro day was yesterday. Tennessee's on commitment watch. A lot going on, man. Tennessee baseball. Got to get healthy. Big home SEC series this weekend. Versus up and coming program in Georgia. A lot going on, Ben.
There is a lot going on. And, man, it's that time of the year, but exciting times to be a Tennessee fan, because this Tennessee basketball team, obviously looking with a win over Creighton, would be the second ever Tennessee basketball team to make it to the Elite Eight, which is pretty remarkable. Well documented at this point that Tennessee's never been to a Final Four, and Tennessee is potentially 2 wins away and 3 days, 4 days away, I suppose, from possibly booking its trip to Phoenix for the Final Four. And they're certainly capable of doing so. We'll see if they show up ready to play, and if they execute properly. I think if they show up and play to the level that they're capable of, I think there's a really good chance that they make it out of this weekend. I think. Maybe Tennessee's best is slightly better than Creighton's best, just because maybe it's a little bit deeper. I think maybe Tennessee is a little more versatile than Creighton, and can win in more ways than Creighton can. So I think that's why I would say that Tennessee is slightly better than Creighton, but it's going to be a really tough matchup. This Creighton team is really, really good. And then obviously you'll have Gonzaga or Purdue waiting for you. Gonzaga and Purdue, they're the first game on Friday night in Detroit, and then Tennessee will be 25 minutes after the conclusion of that one. So hope you are able to get a nap tomorrow. Hope you're able to drink some coffee late Friday, because you're going to need it, because it is going to be a late night. But this basketball team has the potential to do something that no Tennessee team has ever done. And then also with football, as you brought up, I mean, that football team has a chance to make a playoff spot if everything falls right. There's plenty of talent on that football team to where they can go out and compete to make the playoffs, and that is a very achievable goal to make the playoffs. So a lot of reasons to be excited if you're a Tennessee fan right now. And then, of course, Tony Vitello is going to do what Tony Vitello does. I mean, come on now. So a lot of reasons to be excited if you're a Tennessee fan.
I don't hear a lot of confidence in your voice about this Creighton matchup. Tennessee's best, slightly better than Creighton's best. Slightly.
Do you disagree?
I've been sitting here trying to think about how much I disagree with her or how little. I think Tennessee is a better team. I think this matchup favors Tennessee. I think even with Creighton shooting the ball well from the outside, like, they still have lost games shooting the ball well from the outside. I mean, they shot 50% from three, 48% from three, in both losses against Providence. They did beat UConn, but you're going to look at UConn and what they did in that basketball game. They had a shooting performance like Tennessee had against Texas. And so I'm not afraid of Creighton making threes because they're going to do that because they're a really good three-point shooting team. And they shoot a lot of threes. Like, they're going to do it. If they don't, then it might be really ugly for them if Tennessee is able to make some shots. But I like our depth on the perimeter. I don't see a lot of penetration being a thing for Creighton because of our on-ball defense. I think it's important for Jonas Adu to show up with assertiveness and aggressiveness from the opening tip. We can't be, all right, let's get Toby in and let Jonas.
Tobey
get in and let Jonas warm up. Now, like, you gotta go from the opening tip. Because we don't have the length to at the beginning to match up with their big man. So I just think it's important for Adu to be able to hold his own at the beginning, and it's a good thing that it's not like Creighton is a power team. But they're a really good basketball team and really fundamentally sound. But I just think for Ron Kalkbrenner, like, Jonas has to hold his own on the inside. We can't let them shoot a bunch of threes and make them and have success on the inside, getting and ones, us getting in foul trouble. They do a really good job of not fouling. So we don't want to put ourselves in a position where it's early in the and one situation in the first half or early in the second half. But, like, I feel pretty good about the game. I'm nervous, but I feel good. I feel good about the matchup. The matchup I feel good about.
No, I completely agree with you. I do think that in terms of ability, Tennessee and Creighton are pretty similar in terms of ceiling. But I do think Tennessee is a better basketball team. I just think you kind of got to split hairs to prove your point there. Creighton's the three seed for a reason. It has the resume that it has, as you detailed, for a reason.
What's the reason?
But I do like the matchup for Tennessee. Not to make it sound like it's going to be easy, because it's not. But I do like that Tennessee has familiarity with going up against this style of offense. We talked about that on Tuesday. Not only has Tennessee faced Alabama twice this year, but they've faced Nate Oates' system for several years now. And I can assure you, yesterday in practice, they were replicating what Creighton does, what Alabama does. They were telling the scout team or the twos that were in going up against Tennessee's typical lineup, either shoot it quickly or get to the rim. That's what they were doing against the top five or six guys. So I like that there's a sense of familiarity there. I think that's really going to help them. And I like Tennessee's perimeter defense. It's arguably the best perimeter defense in the country. And now the difference in what I think this one may be a little more challenging Swain is I like that Creighton. I think Creighton's style of play plays into Tennessee's defense, but I do think that this is going to be a more difficult matchup than Alabama, because for Alabama, it's Mark Sears or nothing. Whereas with Creighton, I like what Creighton has across the board. Whereas with Alabama, like, yeah, you have to be aware of Estrada and the other guys, but I mean, I don't think you're losing sleep over thinking about what those guys can do. Whereas yesterday, Greg Polinsky was asked a question about how difficult it is to defend an offense like Creighton's, who has three potent scorers. And as the question was being asked, he held up four fingers to say, no, they have four potent scorers that you have to worry about on the perimeter. So it's not as Mark Sears and bust as Alabama is. You have to worry about more players, I feel like, with Creighton than you do Alabama. So I do think it'll be a little more difficult in that sense.
Yeah, I mean, no one on Creighton's team has, like, the ability to score at will like Mark Sears. I mean, just smooth. But I think there was more players on Alabama's team that can make shots on the outside, that can score the basketball. But I do understand what you're saying. I mean, I think we get so used to saying, well, they're a blank seed for a reason. And I can look around the bracket and look at teams that should have been seeded higher or should have been seeded lower. I mean, so yeah, I know Creighton's is a three seed, but, and I'm not saying they're not a good team. They're a good team and can beat Tennessee, but I'm not looking at their seed going, hey man, they have three seed for a reason. Yeah, they're good, man. They're good, but they ain't played the schedule that Tennessee played. Now they did play against, you know, the UConns of the world. Providence was a bubble team, but that Big East schedule wasn't an SEC schedule. I'm not trying to go SEC football fan here, like, hey man, SEC. Like, I'm not trying to do all that, but I'm just saying, like, the schedule that Tennessee played is 2 to 3 times harder than what Creighton played. And but it doesn't matter, because it's like Clemson football playing against Alabama football. Like, yeah, Alabama football had the hardest schedule. Clemson had the easiest schedule. But it didn't matter when those two teams played. It was about who was better that day. So I do think, like, yeah, if I know they had 3 seed, but did they play the schedule that Tennessee played to get that seed? That's all I'm saying. I think with them having a short rotation and Tennessee being deep as we are, especially when it comes to the perimeter, man, I just feel like that's going to affect those guys in a huge way. And if we decide to pick up more full court, then that has to affect Creighton in some way, some fashion. But we'll see, man. We'll see how it plays out. Pro Day was yesterday. Ben, and then you was on the road. I was doing the show. I don't really understand, and this is no shot towards Joe Milton at all. But at this point in the game, who really cares about how far Joe Milton can throw the ball? Like, it's the same lazy takes, in my opinion. Like, we did this already. We know he can throw the ball far. And I saw, like, a tweet from Adam Schefter. I saw all these videos of Joe throwing it far. That's not there. That's not going to help him get drafted. That's not going to help him have success at the next level. It's like low-hanging fruit, and only, like, the casuals will. Yeah, it's for clicks. It's for clicks, man. That's what it comes down to. It's for clicks.
And but even some of those clicks, Swain, are hate is a a strong word to use in this instance, but just for the sake of the conversation, a lot of those clicks have become hate clicks, because if you go look at the responses, a lot of what you were saying is what is in the responses.
Yeah, like show Joe Milton versus Texas A&M. Show some game film. Show, like, we've been doing this for like 2-3 years. Like, it's old, but it's low hanging fruit. It's easy. It's what people like to click on and see. It's just for views. It's just for clicks. And this just doesn't do anything for me. I want Joe Milton to get drafted as high as possible. I want him to have as much success as possible. But I'm not going to get all giddy about him throwing the ball deep in shorts. He's always been able to do that. So I just thought that was silly. I did hear some really good things about Jabari Small and how he performed. I think he has a chance to be, you know, Ty Chandler, a guy not drafted high, but is able to stick with a organization. Not saying he's going to start anything like that, like Ty Chandler was able to do with the Vikings, but I can see Jabari Small sticking with the NFL team and having success.
Like I said. Yeah. That wouldn't necessarily surprise me either. I think maybe Ty Chandler's a little more athletic than Jabari.
Yeah.
Does have more speed than Jabari.
Yeah.
But I would not at all be surprised if Jabari ends up sticking to a team. With Joe Milton, it is impressive. Like the videos that were going around yesterday and the throws that he made, like those are impressive that somebody can do that. That type of arm strength is pretty ridiculous, but it doesn't move the needle for me
old
at all. Yeah. I feel the exact same way that you do, and just kind of been keeping my thoughts to myself, quite frankly, when it comes to, like, even at the combine, like that didn't do anything for me. I know Joe Milton can throw the football a million miles down the football field, but what about the intermediate throws? What about throwing with accuracy? What about throwing with anticipation? What about recognizing what the defense is giving you and looking off the safety and then making a throw into a tight window on the other side of the field? What about the true, genuine leadership skills that need to be displayed as a quarterback at the NFL level? Like, those are all the things that I want to see Joe do. And I hope Joe has a terrific NFL career. I really do. But the arm strength thing is old. I think that's the perfect way to say it, the way that you're saying it, because that is not going to get him on the football field. It's not. And even in the course of a football game, I mean, how often is he truly going to sit back there for 4 or 5 seconds, load up, and just unleash like it's a video game, like you got to hold down one of the buttons until the little bar maxes out to get full strength, boost, turbo boost, whatever you want to call it, and just launch it down the field like it's a rocket launcher. I mean, that doesn't happen. I mean, obviously the deep ball is a part of the game, but in terms of doing those videos in a game, it's not really going to happen. I mean, how many times did we really see him even do that at Tennessee? I mean, he all this arm strength, and we had to wonder why he wasn't even pushing the football down the field this past season. And part of that was receiver play. It's not all on Joe. But, and again, it's impressive that somebody can throw the football that far. No denying that. But in terms of it translating to a football game, it's old, and I want to see all those other things I mentioned a moment ago more than I want to see that.
Like, honestly, I felt bad for Joe.
It's like he's a like the main event at a circus, honestly.
Exactly. I was getting ready to say it. Like, he's like, hey, step on up, kids. Step on up. See this quarterback throw the ball far. Step on up. Get your tickets right here. Like, that's it. And Joe's like, all right, I'm going to do it because I think that's going to help me get drafted. I mean, he's doing what he's told to do. But, like, it's like the and-one days where you had dudes that just could dunk the basketball. All they could do is dunk the basketball. Half man, half amazing. He was a great dunker. But we know basketball is more than that. We know it's about getting to the cup, about shooting, playing defense. It's more than just dunking. Football, throwing the ball is more than just throwing it far. Playing quarterback is more than just throwing it far. So in a way, like, I feel bad for Joe because they're like, hey, here, everybody, watch this main attraction. You just throw the ball far. And it just doesn't do anything for me anymore. I don't really care about those videos. I know you can throw it far. So hopefully the other things that scouts and teams value, he's able to show them that he can do those things. And if he didn't do those at Tennessee, then he has an answer for them, and they feel good that they can bring that out of him at the NFL level. Whether he can do it or not, whatever. But, like, I just hope that he gets an opportunity to prove himself and he gets drafted as high as possible so he can get paid as much as possible. And he's in the best spot for him so he can grow and be successful. But me not being excited about him throwing the ball far on video doesn't mean I don't root for him, don't support him. I just don't care because I feel like they just put him out there like a circus animal.
I completely agree. Not only with that part, but also with the – I don't really think that translates to games. I mean, it didn't translate to the college level. It is not going to translate to the NFL level. Now, the one good thing I would say that Joe has going for him that maybe other quarterbacks in this class don't have going for them is that he's not walking around in skirts and dresses and not having his nails painted as pink as a flamingo and rocking the pink phone case and the pink wallet. I mean, it'd be a real shame for an organization to I'm kidding, obviously, messing with Swain.
You better be kidding. Don't get yourself in trouble. Don't get yourself in trouble trying to mess with me.
You got your Caleb Williams skirt yet?
Then you better be careful.
To rock for the season opener?
I ain't seen him in no skirt.
Hey, I mean, he's got some new cleats coming out, too.
I ain't seen no new cleats.
I know you're going to be rocking those.
I ain't seen none of that.
And are you going to get your little ones to
paint
your nails and put the Chicago logo on one nail and the Bears logo on another, bear and down on the other two nails?
Now, you can mention that because he has painted his nails black before. Probably still paint. I don't know, but you know his phone being pink and
I'm just messing around.
Pink little gloss or whatever. I don't care, man.
Are you all in on Caleb Williams?
No, it has nothing to do with pink phone. None of that stuff.
I know. I'm just saying in general. Like the Bears are going to draft Caleb Williams. Yeah, I mean, are you pleased with that?
He's a rookie quarterback, and it's no different than a freshman, highly rated player coming into Tennessee. We'll see what he does. And I don't care if his nails are clear, if his nails are pink, black, as long as he balls out.
No, I'll tell you right now, I mean, Justin Fields could paint his nails purple and black for the Ravens. I don't care as long as he wins football games.
I don't care. Don't know him. Why should I care? I don't know him.
As long as you are a good person, you play football well, And you lead the team, I don't care what you wear or dress like.
Don't care. Don't bother me one bit. Don't care. Now, I wonder how he's going to be received in the locker room.
Fair or unfair, but that is absolutely a thing.
Yeah, I mean, if he comes in, he's, again, at the end of the day, a good teammate, he works hard. Dude's really going to care about all that stuff.
No. Like,
they don't care.
That's probably more of a issue in college, to be honest with you, just because guys theoretically are not as mature and not as much professionals going about their day-to-day.
Yeah. Nelson says, I can't wait until Caleb Williams throws a game-winning touchdown so I can say game blouses. I can't wait, too, man. That means the Bears won. So, hey, man, get them jokes off. It don't bother me one bit. From 2 days ago, Wally mentioned something about your feeling about the baseball team. As we were talking about the squad, on the other side of the break, Ben, you're going to have to answer to it. You're going to have to answer to this text. So you better get on that text box. You better look at it yourself so that way you don't say that you were caught off guard when I bring it up and ask you about it. So make sure you're ready, Bibby. 865-255-03. Wally Gamble called Ben to the carpet about the Tennessee baseball team and some of his comments for Tuesday. We will touch on that when we come back from a brief timeout. Explain the event. You about that in barbecue.
You're listening to the Swain Event.
And you know this, man.
Here in Knoxville, we love it when a squirrel's in the checkerboards. But when there's a squirrel in our attic, that's off sides. When that happens, call Alpha Wildlife. They're Knoxville's veteran-owned and operated wildlife removal company. When unwanted critters put their feet up on your coffee table, call 865-224-6555. Let the Tennessee fans at Alpha Wildlife evict those unwanted tenants and set your home up with a winning defense to keep that wildlife where it belongs. That's Alpha Wildlife at 865-224-6555. They have locations in Nashville, Memphis, Chattanooga, and in parts of South Carolina. Check them out online at alphawildlife.com.
Fellas, it's a new year. Low T Center can make it a great one. If you've been feeling tired and grumpy, have noticed a lack of motivation and drive, you may have low T. Low testosterone levels can cause weight gain, loss of muscle mass, and so much more. I recommend Low T Center. It's where I get my levels tested. They make it quick and easy to get your levels checked, and it's only $25. And with their on-site lab, you'll get your results back in about 25 minutes. Go to lowtcenter.com now to book your appointment online. Low T Center, reinventing men's healthcare.
What's up, Swain Event crew? Always happy to be with my friends in the morning. So, everybody has a next chapter in life, right? And sometimes that includes a move. Your next page may have a growing family, or maybe an empty nest, or possibly a move back home. When the time comes, I'll be here to help. Just give me a call. Jennifer Morris, Keller Williams Realty, 865-694-5904. And check out my website, nextmovesmokymountains.com. As always, go Vols!
Baby Chevrolet saves you money. 2.9% APR or $5,000 total value on new Silverado 1500s. New Equinox with 1.9% APR plus no payments for 90 days or $2,500 total cash allowance at Baby Chevrolet.
Looking for a different way to enjoy the show?
Yes!
Then check out Swain Event TV on YouTube.
All right, Ben McKee, Mr. Go Vols 247. Woo! All right, get back, folks. Did you see the text box, Ben?
I saw it the other day.
Okay. Were you glad that I didn't read it?
No, I don't care whether you read it or not. I'm confused as to what he is referencing. I don't recall lacking.
Well, you ain't saying anything crazy. It was just maybe the tone of your voice, maybe you know what you were saying. I picked up on a little bit when you were talking about Tennessee Creighton. Maybe not as confident in Tennessee's chances to win, or Tennessee being the head-over-heels better team. A little bit.
It's okay. A Sweet 16 game against a pretty evenly matched team. I'm not going to act like Tennessee's going to come out and win by 50.
I get it. I get it. I understand. All right, here's what Wally Gamble said. Ben lacks faith in the Vols. This is not last year's team. This was talking about baseball. I will say, man, that this baseball team this year has started better than last year's team. And last year's team had to figure out some things and did later in the season. And I think every team has some things to work out at the beginning of the season. But what do you say to Wally Gamble's tweet or text box message about your lack of faith in this year's Tennessee baseballs?
My response is that I'd like more context. I'd like to know exactly what I said that made him believe that I lack faith in Tennessee. No.
Okay.
I mean, they have some things to sort out on the pitching side of things. The pitching right now is not good enough to go win a championship, but it's March 28th, and they have 2 months to get things where they need to be. And why would I not have faith in Frank Anderson? He's the best pitching coach in the country, and each and every year he works his magic. So I would expect for them to be in a much better place 2 months from now heading into the postseason than they are today. So I'm a little confused as to how I lack faith, because I think this team has a ton of potential. But if it wants to, with Tennessee baseball, we're no longer talking about making it to Hoover for the SEC tournament. We're not talking about getting into the NCAA tournament. We're talking about hosting a regional, winning in the postseason, getting back to Omaha and winning championships. And in that regard, Tennessee needs to establish more pitching depth before the postseason rolls around. And they have plenty of guys and plenty of tools to play with and reach that point. But it is something that they need to do over the next 2 months in order to go and win a championship when it's all said and done. The offense is as good as it gets. I mean, this offense, you're not going to find a better one in the entire country. This Tennessee offense has several professional hitters within the lineup, and this lineup is so deep. Guys like Dalton Bargo and Reese Chapman, when Billy comes back from his appendicitis, Dean Curley or Ariel Antigua is going to have to be on the bench. Like, there are a ton of bats that deserve to be playing every single day that are barely playing. So the lineup is going to carry you a long ways. But last year's LSU team, the lineup for LSU, that scary lineup that LSU had last year, they did not win them the World Series. The pitching coming along when it mattered most, and guys stepping up in the postseason that you didn't necessarily expect to step up and produce, they showed up when it mattered most, and that's what won them the championship. And Tennessee's going to have to find a way to replicate that, quite frankly. I think this Tennessee pitching staff has more depth than that LSU pitching staff, but there's some questions. They got to figure out this bullpen if it wants to reach its ultimate goal. So, I don't know. I'd like to hear more context as to why he thinks that I lacked faith in the team, because I certainly do not. I think they're one of the better teams in the entire country.
Yeah, I mean, when you compare it to last year's team, it's okay to not have the same amount of faith right now as last year's team. It's hard to sit here and have the same amount of faith because you're judging a team that's playing in March to a team that completed their season. And
yeah, but Swain, even this time a year ago, I had zero faith in last year's baseball team. How many?
That means you have more faith.
What's that?
That means you have more faith in this team at this point of the game than last year's team at this point of the season.
Yep. How many? I mean, you and Chris Lowe had me on The Nation. You had me on Josh and Swain. You've heard me give my spiel here on the Swain event. How many times did you hear me in the preseason for baseball and in the first couple of weeks talk about how I feel much better about where this baseball team is at entering the season because they actually like being around each other, and the team leadership is in a much healthier spot. The camaraderie, the team chemistry, it's in a much better spot. I mean, I talked about that too much in the preseason in the first couple of weeks of the season. So I've always liked this baseball team more than last year's team, quite frankly. And that last year's team was a team that made it to Omaha and had some pretty fun wins along the way. But this time a year ago, I had zero faith in that baseball team because of the lack of leadership and team chemistry and that affecting their play on the field.
Good point. All right, let's go to the phones, 865-255-03. Good morning. Who do we have with us?
Good morning, guys. This is D.R. Vaughn.
Daniel.
Yes, number one Swain event fan. I, Man, I woke up, got on the message boards, and saw BBB and clicked on it, and it was Baseball Bashing Ben. What's going on with the show so far?
Oh, man. Ben's off the rails this morning.
That's what I hear. And I'm not trying to be like Kanye to Taylor, but, guys, we got a Sweet 16 game tomorrow.
Hey, we started the show talking about the Sweet 16. We got an hour and a half show. We got to pack everything in that we possibly can. We didn't even talk spring football yet. So we're trying to pack it all
more,
in.
You know, that's kind of a callback because I remember when Ben was first on the show with Charlie and people would get mad at Ben for talking baseball back when nobody cared about baseball, but Ben. So shout out to him for being ahead of the game.
I mean, there's so many sports winning. You try to cover it all in a short amount of time.
Be cool if I get the Lady Vols on board.
Hey, you know what's funny?
Football team's playing well.
But you know what's funny? On Josh and Swain, I think it was last week, talked basketball for a full hour in the first hour. Had like a short 10-minute segment in the second hour, the beginning of the second hour, sprinkled in some football. Got a message on the text box complaining about how talking too much football and not enough basketball. I was like, what the hell?
That's a great thing, though, man. I know it's probably annoying to you, but it just shows you how far along this basketball program's come.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. And the lack of awareness by the listeners,
well,
too.
That too. Guys, I'm, you know, notoriously negative. I'm still feeling good about tomorrow. I really do believe where this team's going. That being said, I am nervous because I feel like we're about to go up against five Ryan Kleins.
Yeah, but, like, the thing about Ryan Klein, you gave up a lot of two-point baskets, too, and you didn't shoot the ball well from the free throw line. Like, you still beat Purdue, even with Ryan Klein having a career day, if you do all the other things well. So, like, they're going to make shots from the outside. Like, I'm not even worried about that because, like, we've seen them lose games shooting the ball great from the outside. It's not letting them get offensive rebounds, second chance shots around the rim, us turning the ball over, giving them easy points at the basket. Like, that's what we can't do. Fouling them on a three-point shot, giving them an easy, you know, 3 points at the free throw line. Like, that's what I'm more nervous about.
That's me. I'm, you know, you say that, Swain. I'm more worried about how we play than how they play because I've seen how we are if we play to our potential, and I don't think we're beatable.
Ooh. Hear that, Ben?
Darval, you want me to give you all the confidence you need?
Do it.
What is tomorrow?
Friday.
Good Friday, right?
Good Friday.
Yeah.
Yes. Tomorrow is Good Friday. Sunday is Easter. The good deacon is not losing on Good Friday. He's not losing on Easter either because that's when Tennessee would play its Elite Eight game. So go ahead and book your tickets to the Final Four.
Ben, I can feel that. Because, you know, Starla and I, we talked about it. We win tomorrow. We're heading up to Detroit for Sunday's game. I've said that for years. Like, the Final Four, if we go to it, I've got to be there. And I want to be there if we secure it. That being said, if we lose Sunday, I'll be drinking the water in Michigan.
Oh, man.
So I have to make the return trip.
There's a comment there that I am not going to make that I'm going to sidestep and keep it moving. The only reason you do need to be nervous, though, is because this game is going to start so late that it may start on Good Friday, but it may end on Saturday. So you better hope that Tennessee builds a big enough lead while it's still Good Friday. That way, if there's like 4 minutes of gameplay that bleeds into Saturday, Saturday can't ruin it. But generally speaking, the good deacon's not losing on Good Friday or Easter. So Tennessee is going to, I mean, blow out Creighton this Friday night. And then they're going to turn around and blow out Purdue as well. Dalton Connect's going to dunk on Zach Edey. And, I mean, Zach Edey's never going to want to play basketball again after Dalton Connect dunks on him a couple of different times like he did Dylan Dessou. So you should be plenty confident because the good deacon is coaching on Good Friday and on Easter. He's not losing.
And as we all know, Tennessee is God's team, thanks to the good Deacon. I just think we've built up enough to it's finally come to this moment. Honestly, I'd rather see Sakai dunk on that big freak. I can't stand looking at his face, and I just think that'd be more comical, honestly, Ben.
Speaking of Sakai and Dr. Vogue, man, good to hear from you, brother.
Yes, sir.
The video talking about, well, Sakai's mom talking about the house burning down and how Tennessee fans were there to help and other fans were there to help get them back on their feet and how they moved to Knoxville. Man, that will get those allergies stirred up for sure. Have you seen it, Ben? Yeah, go look at it.
I have not.
Yeah, go look at it after the show, maybe some during the break if you can. It's powerful stuff, man. Pretty cool stuff. It may make basketball fans root for Tennessee. It's that cool of a story. Like, we may get some extra fans tomorrow night because of that story, man. It's pretty cool. Hopefully they play it on TV so people can see it there too. 865-255-03. Let's go back to the phones. Good morning.
Hey, good morning, guys.
What's up, Turkey Man?
Hey, guys. Hey, I was going to catch Ben there on the baseball before he got off the baseball.
Yeah, baseball? It's a Sweet 16, Turkey Man. Did you hear Dr. Vall? Go ahead.
But I was going to ask the other day, what did Anderson get ejected for the other day, Coach Anderson? A few games back, Ben.
He arguing balls and strikes.
Well, I didn't see him really kick no bird or nothing.
Well, he, what Frank Anderson likes to do, and as you know this, Turkey Man, because you spent a lot of time around baseball, during these mound visits, the pitching coach likes to take mound visits for the sole purpose of getting on to the umpire. That gets him closer to the umpire, and he can kind of run his mouth at the umpire as he's walking out to the mound, as he's leaving the mound, and then when the umpire comes out there to break up as what Swain calls a huddle on the mound, Frank Anderson or a pitching coach can really get after the umpire, and that's what was going on. It did seem like a quick trigger, and people around the program were a little confused and thought that it was a soft ejection, but that's what the umpire did, is eject him for arguing balls and strikes when he went out there for that mound visit. And who knows, maybe he said a magic word, but then it seemed like a quick trigger for sure.
Well, I agree with what you said earlier about the team. I feel really good about the team. Been concerned about the pitching, and you nailed that. But I'll let you get back to talking basketball and dribble around it a little bit. But I was wanting to ask you that question. I hope we win, and it would be nice to be in the Final Four. And I was thinking back in the Elite Eight, I remember Dale Ellis' team. Was it Georgetown that they were playing that they got beat they would have went to the Final Four? I believe I'm right. I just Googled it, but I just go by memory. Sometimes your memory's not like it used to be. But anyhow, I get out of here, guys. God bless you. Have a good Friday. And I hope you have a good Easter, too.
All right, man. Thank you, man.
Thank you, Turkey Man. Good to hear from you, my friend.
We'll definitely have to go to Google on that one. Yeah, definitely have to go to Google on that one. Dale Ellis team.
Tennessee or Swain was a Georgia fan back when Dale Ellis was playing basketball.
A Georgia fan? Bro, I wasn't even born when Dale Ellis was playing basketball. Born in 84. His last year.
84? I thought you were born in 64.
Boy, stop. This last year was 82, 83. I'm trying to see if they had a deep run. I've never heard about that type of run during Dale Ellis' time. But, hey, you learn something new every day, something I have to look at.
Well, I mean, the only time Tennessee's ever been to the Elite Eight is 2010. So, unless the tournament was shortened back then.
That didn't connect with me, but hey, who knows? Tony Vitello, man, I love me some Tony Vitello because he's really the only reason why I be really paying attention to baseball like that. You can't even get upset and say anything to the umpire, even if he is not doing his job properly, without getting ejected. Like, how soft is that? You get a technical foul in basketball, but you don't get thrown out after the first tech. You get thrown out after the second tech. And how much do you have to really say to the ref to actually pick up the first tech? Like, there's some give and take. Refs will at least have some dialogue with you. Same with football. But you can't even say anything to the officials in baseball. They'll just kick you out. That's just soft, man. Just so soft. Golly.
Happy opening day to you, Swain. Do you have your Garrett Crochet jersey laid out to wear today?
I got my White Sox hat ready to go though.
Well, you didn't lose it this time around.
See what happened was it fell in between, you know. No, I didn't lose it. Don't get me in trouble. For context, my wife bought me a White Sox hat for my birthday a couple years ago. I thought I lost it, so I was like, man, I think I'm going to have to go buy another hat that looks the same so my wife doesn't know I lost the hat. But I found it, so we're good to go. Quit bringing up old stuff, Ben. Let's go back to the phones, 865-255-03. Good morning.
Man, that was quick. What's going on, guys? It's Deezy.
What's up, man?
Man, just chilling. Hey, what's going on, Ben? It's opening day. I know folks don't want to hear about no baseball today with the Sweet 16 starting tonight, but had to at least acknowledge that it's opening day. Unfortunately,
are you a Brewers fan?
I am a Brewers fan. I was just about to say, unfortunately, I think they got rained out and pushed back because they're out in New York playing the Mets. So got to wait an extra day to watch them. But
Brewers. I used to the Huntsville Stars, but back when I was a bat boy in high school, the Huntsville Stars were the double A team of the Milwaukee Brewers. So I had some Brewers gear back in high school that I was given to.
Hey, nobody like the Brewers. Sorry, dude.
People in Milwaukee like the Brewers.
That's it.
Nate Snead likes the Brewers. Okay.
I ain't heard one person. Man, you know what, man? I'm a Brewers fan. I ain't never heard
one. You just heard one.
That's until now.
Right. But the funny thing is, right. Funny thing is,
Giannis is a Brewers fan.
Giannis is a Brewers partial owner as well. Little nugget there. And also, I'm not sure if it's still the case, but I know, like, back when I was in high school, obviously the Yankees fitted because of Jay-Z was the number one selling New Era hat, but the second one was the Brewers. That ball and glove logo is classic, and I'm glad they actually brought it back a couple years ago.
Yes, it is nice. I know you got some Tennessee stuff to talk about, but what are your thoughts on Marquette being right there in the city as well? You kind of loosely pull for them, like C-Mac loosely pulls for NC State?
Loosely. No, not really. I mean, I don't hate on them or anything, but I actually, when I left UT, actually came back home and went to UWM and was actually there while Pearl was still the coach before he left to go to Knoxville. So no real allegiances to Marquette, but I mean, I guess I hope they do well. I'm actually rooting for NC State, to be honest, because of the two DJs. So.
Oh, yeah, USC, Mac. That's good.
Yep. That's really good. But, yeah, definitely excited for tomorrow. I'm confident, like I told you guys the other day, I got to see Creighton in person against Marquette a couple months ago, and they can shoot the lights out, but I think our defense and the physicality will take over. I agree with you, Swain, 100%. I hope they, you know, just full court press them the whole game. They're not very deep. They've been playing like, I think pretty much all their starters play every minute of every game. And I think that our pressure and physicality will definitely start waning on them come the second half.
Yeah. We'll see if Rick actually does that, DZ. But thanks for the phone call, man. Good to hear from you.
Oh, yeah.
We'll see if there's any wrinkles that really stand out. I mean, we've watched this basketball team all year long. Ben, you've covered this team, been in every game. So you kind of know the tendencies. We'll be able to see if Rick does anything different, because Rick did do something different against Texas, and it kind of blew up real quick. And Rick said, come on back out, JP, Australia. Come on. Come on. Come on.
What did you just call him? Did you just call him JP Australia?
That's what the announcers called him. They called him JP Australia.
I was like, who is that? That time you said it correctly. You called him JP Australia after the country a second ago.
That's what they called him.
Did they really?
Yeah. I know you were at the
obviously,
game.
Obviously, I have not seen the podcast.
That's what they call him. And Vols in Australia. I was like, what is that? But it's JP Australia was in at the same time as Adu. That didn't work out for a long time because we left someone wide open. But that's an example of a wrinkle or a different look that from what we've seen during the season. So be paying attention to what they do versus Creighton along those lines. 865-255-03. We'll get to the Beatty Chevrolet text box. We come back from our brief timeout. Big thanks to DR Vol, Deezy, and Turkey Man for the phone call. Swain Event, fueled by Dead End Barbecue.
You're listening to the Swain Event.
You don't say.
Fueled by Dead End Barbecue. Yeah!
When you are craving some quality barbecue, there's only one place to go. Dead End Barbecue. Dead End Barbecue has been featured on ESPN's Taste of the Town, the first barbecue restaurant on the SEC Network, CBS Sports, Headline News Tailgate Show, Amazon Prime's The Restaurant Comeback, Food Paradise, and named one of the top 100 barbecue restaurants in America. The search is over. Dead End Barbecue is located on 3621 Sutherland Avenue right here in Knoxville. You can even have it delivered right to your door through Chow Now. Visit their website at deadendbbq.com. Dead End Barbecue. The search is over.
Hey, Vol Nation. This is Charlie Pratt, financial representative with Modern Woodmen and MWA Financial Services. Modern Woodmen has been touching lives and securing futures for 140 years. Being born and raised here in East Tennessee, I'm honored to help East Tennesseans in all phases of life with retirement planning, investments, and life insurance. A big win on Saturday starts with preparation early in the week. A secure financial future starts with planning today. Contact my office today at 865-919-6468 to review your financial plan and make sure you are on track for success. As always, go Vols.
Registered representative and investment advisor, representative offering securities and advisory services through NWA Financial Services, Inc., a wholly owned subsidiary of Modern Woodmen of America, member of FINRA, SIPC.
Good morning, Swain Event fam. America's College Sports Town has everything you could want in a lifestyle. You want a cottage home in town or a downtown condo? Or maybe you're looking for a home with a pool or a lake property. Well, whatever you want, the Knoxville area has it. And I'm ready to assist when it's time to find what you're looking for. So give me a call. Jennifer Morris, 865-694-5904. Or email me at jennifermorris865@gmail.com. And check out my website at nextmovesmokymountains.com. Go Vols!
Beatty Chevrolet saves you money. 2.9% APR or $5,000 total value on new Silverado 1500s. New Equinox with 1.9% APR plus no payments for 90 days or $2,500 total cash allowance at Beatty Chevrolet.
Just because you can't call in doesn't mean that you have to sit on the sideline. Impact the show with a text box. It's part of the free Swain Event app.
SwainEvent.com, fueled by Dead End Barbecue. Top 100 barbecue restaurant in America. Had me a good old pulled pork sandwich the other day, Ben.
I'm still waiting on my plate of food that you promised me.
Are y'all settled in? Y'all ready? I got you this upcoming week.
I don't think you're ever really settled in until like a year or two after you move. I mean, how many of us still have boxes for months after you actually move. So, what's that?
Good point. But yeah, I got you, man. I got you dead in. When you get back, coordinate it, make it happen.
Yeah, I'll give you credit. You always take care of my water.
I got you, man. I'm not going to let you be thirsty now. You might be hungry, but never thirsty, my friend. Never thirsty. You will be hydrated. Mess around with me. You will never fail Tom Herman's urine challenge or his urine standards, hydration standards. You'll never fail Tom Herman's standards messing with me, man. I got you. I got you. All right, let's get to the text box. Beach bum, Vol, do you think this basketball team sometimes misses the physical presence of Uros? Not from an athletic standpoint or offensive perspective, but simply just a big physical body. Filipowski wanted no part of him after a few minutes in that Duke game last year. Yeah, I think I made this point on Josh and Swain.
We talked about it last Thursday, too.
Did it? Okay. It was here then. It wasn't Josh and Swain. So, yeah. I'm not talking about the whole game, but just certain matchups here and there. Like, Uros probably would have been helpful against Mississippi State, against Hunter Dickerson, guys like that. But obviously, this is the best lineup for Tennessee. But just certain times, you play against dudes who are big bruisers, and that's tough for a dude. And then if he's tall, like if Tennessee would have played Oregon, Dante would have been a concern. He would have been concerned, man. The dude's 7'1" and strong. So he's too tall for a walker, too physical for a dude. I would have been like, oh boy, what are we going to do? So, but yeah, like I think in certain cases, Uros is missed. Like when we played Kentucky, I think I made this point. We talked about it last. Sheway just could not get going against Uros. It was weird. Like he ate everybody else up, but not against Uros because of the length, because of the girth.
No, because he's annoying.
Well, him being annoying didn't help him any other time like it helped him against Sheway. How are we feeling about Utley today? Eyeball emoji. Guess who that's from?
Nelson and Jackson.
That's all Nelson cares about.
I think that it'll be a good day for the Vols.
Yeah, we might be okay. Ethan Utley from Innsworth. He is one of the top defensive linemen in the country. He's a 4-star according to 247. The 21st defensive lineman in the country. Texas, Michigan, Oklahoma, Syracuse, Tennessee. Ronnie Garner is all over that recruitment, and he's going to make his announcement today.
Tonight at 7:30 p.m. Eastern, streaming it on Instagram, I believe.
Says, you sure?
That's what Ryan Callahan told me yesterday when I asked him what time he was announcing.
I need to update the website then over here.
Well, that is not my job. And does it give you a specific time?
Yeah, it says 12:00.
Well, I think it automatically always says 12:00 if the player has not come out and announced.
Gotcha.
What time?
Yeah, I see a bunch of 12:00, a bunch of 1 p.m. So okay, I got
right.
You.
I think that's kind of the standard for whatever reason.
Gotcha. Understand.
Anything stand out to you from yesterday morning's scrimmage? I know it was a closed door scrimmage, but I'm sure you maybe heard a thing or two. And anything stand out that you really, really liked off the top of your head?
Matthews made a good play down the sideline. It's always good to hear about young players in their first scrimmage, making some plays. I'll be honest, man, the biggest thing for me, and I meant to bring this up earlier in the show, but we got to talk about basketball and had some baseball questions, but it's about injury to Cam Seldon. I think that's significant. I'm not going to sit here and freak out in March, but even before the injury, I was a little uneasy about the running back room as a whole. The reason why I'm uneasy about the room as a whole is because I know what it's like when you miss two really good players like Small and Wright. When you look around the roster on this squad, there's five-star players in every room or high four-star players in every room. You don't have that in the running back room. Now, that doesn't mean you can't have a good room. That doesn't mean players here and there can't prove to be a really good player. Like, we've seen countless examples of a guy that wasn't rated high but go on to be a great player. Cool, whatever. But as a group, guys, the group looks a lot different than any other group or room on this roster. And now you have Cam Seldon, who's going to miss significant time. And there's been conversations about hitting the portal, questions asked to Heupel about hitting the portal, because you understand that Seldon's going to be gone. So check this out. And this is great for a guy like Peyton Lewis. I was a freshman. If I was a freshman coming in, this would be a perfect opportunity for me to be RB number two. It's a perfect opening for him as a freshman. But as a Tennessee fan looking at the situation, you have Dylan Sampson going into the number one role for the first time in his career. You have a running back, even though he put up big numbers here in Knoxville. Big numbers when you compare them to all the numbers nationally. Wesley Carnes and Deshaun Bishop. Let's be honest and fair here. We didn't take Deshaun Bishop from Georgia and Florida and LSU and Alabama and Auburn. Like, we didn't do that. Now, he could be a good player for us. Don't get me wrong, but I'm just speaking facts here. So you have him. You got Khalifa. We didn't take him from all those other schools I just mentioned. So you have a bunch of guys who defense are not going to be afraid of until they actually do something. And the room just looks different than any other room. So there's a little bit of concern. I like Dylan Sampson. I think he's a good player. This is the first time he's going to be featured as a number one back. And Jalen Wright, I'm sure, at some point said, you know what, man, I want more carries. And then said, you know what, I'm good with not having a lot of carries. Because I'm going to be fresh when I go to the league. I'm going to be fresh later in the season. Because you can lean on Jabari Small. You can lean on Dylan Sampson. And we saw games where Jalen Wright had like 10 carries. Is Dylan Sampson going to be able just to have 10 carries in a game?
No.
No.
He's going to need to be in that 15 to 20 range.
So there's a lot of love towards Peyton Lewis. People love Peyton Lewis. And if you're Peyton Lewis, you love it because you got opportunity to play now. But there's a lot of inexperience and there's a lot of new. And Dylan Sampson's going to have more load put on him early because of all the inexperience and youth at the running back position. And I don't know how that's going to work out.
And when even Peyton Lewis is dealing with an injury as well that has sidelined him. So, I mean, your number two and number three guys, they're out this spring. And I think Khalifa Keith and Deshaun Bishop are going to be good college football players. I think they're going to be good college running backs. The question is, will they be good enough to produce at a place like Tennessee? Will they be good enough to produce in the SEC? That is a huge question mark. If I'm Tennessee, I don't know that I'm going out and adding a body just for the simple sake of adding a body. Maybe you disagree with that general thought.
I agree with you.
But if the right one becomes available, one that you think can absolutely help, then I bring him in. If assuming the numbers work out and you don't have to subtract from maybe other pressing areas of needs, I would absolutely add one if I can afford to. And it's a good quality back that you are adding.
Yeah. 865-255-03. Let's go back to the phones. Good morning.
Them boys that in top lineup finna get hot, baby. Acuna, Isaac, the stash on the mound. It's time to get to the World Series. Good morning, Benjamin. Good morning, Jay Swizzle.
Big Orange Mac. What is going on, man?
Not much. Took the day off before Good Friday. Get some mowing done so I can have all that done so I can enjoy my weekend. I know everybody wants to talk about the Sweet 16, spring practice and whatnot. I feel good, but I'm going to keep my cup on because, you know, BVS. But I feel good about our chances tomorrow night. Ben, I got a baseball question for you. We're going back to baseball. I know D.R. Hall is probably punching the air right now.
Nelson is.
Baseball is my first love, but I'm not a baseball aficionado like you. Why in the world would MLB have opening day on the day of the first round of Sweet 16? Why do they do that to themselves?
Your guess is as good as mine. I love baseball, as everybody obviously knows at this point, but I hate how Major League Baseball just continues to get in its way of to steal a golf term, growing the game. I mean, they just do not do things in a very smart manner in terms of making it accessible to people to watch the game, in terms of just making it affordable for people to watch and go to the games, or in today's day and age of social media. They are really, really strict on the distribution of highlights from games. And I feel like that's something that Adam Silver and the NBA do a great job of, is like when they have Anthony Edwards poster somebody in somebody's career, anybody and everybody, whoever can share that highlight on social media can clip it or whatever and post it, and it goes viral and everybody's seeing this highlight play. If Ronald Acuna makes the greatest play ever in right field, then Major League Baseball is going to step in and make sure people like Big Orange Mac aren't cutting it himself and posting it to his social media. They're going to come through and delete that because they own the rights to it. And I mean, I get it from their standpoint, but it's not helping you grow the game or grow your product. So just little things like that always adding up. I feel you, Big Orange Mac. Maybe it is a weird year because it was a leap year in February. Maybe it's just a coincidence that opening day falls on the first day of the Sweet 16, because maybe I'm just misremembering, but I don't really remember too often where opening day does fall on the first day of the Sweet 16 or anything like that. I would imagine, and maybe I'm being too optimistic and just wishful thinking, I'd like to think that it's just a coincidence this year because everything seems to be thrown off this year because of the leap year.
Yeah, I can see that. They do so much to kill the game. People think that baseball's just dead now anyway. And, you know, it's not America's favorite pastime anymore like it was back when my dad was a kid. Beyond that, they do more to kill the game than anything. I just hate how it's been run. I don't get it about MLB, man. It really irritates me. And like I said, I love baseball. It's just, I grew up listening to a Braves game. We didn't have a satellite until like 1998 or cable TV until 1998. So most of the Braves games I heard was on the radio. we could get 750 WSB from Atlanta on hot summer night. And that's how I got my Braves, you know, sitting there listening to it with my pops. We didn't have no AC in the house either. The house I grew up in was built in 1928, so we were sweating on top of each other. We're listening to the dadgum radio, and just those are fond memories for me, and I wish he was still here to see him play. But, guys, I'm going to get off here. Got to get some mowing done. Let's go kick some ass tomorrow night. Love y'all. Y'all have a great day.
Ain't mow right now, man. No grass still wet.
Well, I got to wait till the dew get off.
Yeah, man, you gotta wait. All right, I'm messing with you, big ones, man. Good to hear from you, man.
All right, man.
See you.
You know, Swain, I think it's time. I think it's time that we stop saying or setting up the question or topic or comment of, well, I know everybody wants to talk about football. Well, I know everybody wants to talk about the Sweet 16 and basketball. We talk about everything. I think everybody's interested in all three sports right now to various degrees, obviously. Mm-hmm. And the time within the calendar matters, but I don't think that we need to quantify whatever our question that we're going to ask or the topic that we're going to bring up, because we assume that others may not want to hear about it. I think Nelson and Jackson has kind of poisoned the water a little bit, making everybody think that everybody only wants to talk football 24/7. And the continued questions and conversation starters proved to be otherwise. So I don't think we need to qualify what we're going to ask or bring up anymore, because as Danny White says, it's an everything school. This is an everything fan base and an everything show where all topics are discussed. I mean, we've had how many people call in this morning and say, I know that we want to talk Sweet 16 or football, but then talk about something else. So obviously it's not like a one person thing that's just wanting to talk about something else. Again, football's a breadwinner. We know that. But I think there's interest in other sports where it's okay to bring it up here and there.
All right, man. I got you. Nelson says, why am I catching strays?
Because you are a stray.
Neil Mafia says, the one constant through the year, Swain, has been baseball. How so?
Well, he said his one constant, right?
Yeah, he said the one constant through the year, Swain, has been baseball. I mean, like Tennessee Athletics as far as winning? Because, I mean, I don't think that's what he's talking about. But if he was talking about that, I would say, I mean, the one constant Tennessee Athletics has been softball. We've seen basketball go up and down. We've seen football go up and down. We've seen the Lady Vols go up and down. We've seen baseball go up and down. That softball program, stay up. All the way up, always up. Camden, Tennessee Vol says we need Uros in the Natty versus North Carolina to control Baycott. Hey. JP Australia, you'll have to step up. JP Estrella. Dude, you got to go back and watch it, man. When I first heard it, I was like, who is JP Australia? What? People's LCP says, can y'all provide insight on what Texas did to keep us cold from three? We're playing really good defense. Don't get me wrong. They knew us. We knew them. We missed a lot of open looks, too. So I don't think Texas is the reason why we went so cold from three. But I do give them credit for playing really good defense. I mean, how much credit does defense get when the offense is missing wide open shots? I don't know.
I shared my opinion on Tuesday. I thought the first half, Tennessee could not get open looks. I thought they got open looks in the second half. I did not think that they got open looks in the first half. And I thought the familiarity between the two coaching staffs, I thought that played into points being at a premium there in that first half, just because they know each other so well. They know what they want to run, so on and so forth. And because of that, I thought that kind of set the tone for the game, kind of threw everything offensively in terms of shot making. I think it threw that off rhythm and just kind of one of those games as a result of tough physical defense and both coaches knowing what the other wants to do and making sure that that is defended. That's why I felt the night was a poor shooting night, because of just kind of how it started with the familiarity.
Yeah. No, I understand what you're saying. I get it. This month is Happy's Golden Ticket Sweepstakes at Hiller. You can win a big-time prizes at Hiller by going to their website, hillergoldenticket.com. All you have to do is enter your email address to win prizes. These prizes can be life-changing for you. A $5,000 Hiller gift card. Also, you can win a $1,000 Hiller gift card or one of 10 Happy Hiller Club memberships. Take advantage of zero interest financing for 48 months on select new HVAC systems or 36 months on tankless water heaters and also whole home generators. Do not miss out. Enter to win now. Go to the website. That's hillergoldenticket.com. Ben has another trip to make today up to Detroit. Where you say you are right now? Kentucky? Ohio?
I did drive through Lexington, and the tears in Lexington tasted oh so sweet. I even saw John Calipari wandering around on the side of the road looking for answers to his for his basketball program and how he can get things corrected. But
they're happy. They just hired Kenny Brooks from Virginia Tech to coach the girls' team.
Those people don't care about that right now. Come on now.
He's a good coach, man. That's a good hire.
I tell you what, nobody in Lexington, Kentucky is happier than Mark Stoops. Nobody. Mark Stoops is the happiest man in the state of Kentucky right now. But no, I'm in North Cincinnati, so got 3.5 more hours to go.
You couldn't make Creighton. It 3 more hours? What a
wuss. So it's a 7.5-hour drive.
From Knoxville, Detroit?
Yeah.
Why you drive the whole way?
Well, as I was about to explain before you cut me off.
Oh, go ahead. I love to hear this.
Kurt Creighton speaks to the media at 1:30, and then Tennessee will speak after Creighton. So if I would have driven the entire way, then that would have required me waking up at 5 or 6 a.m. and missing the show. So in order to not miss the show or wake up at 5 or 6 a.m., drive all day, then work all night, My coworker, your lovely friend Wes Rucker, and I decided to leave last night, drive 4 hours, stay in Cincinnati, and then wake up, do the show, and then we're about to get back in the car again.
Wes awake?
No, Wes is not awake.
Don't show him. Put the microphone next to Wes's ear so I can wake him up. Just kidding. Don't do that.
I can anyways. My microphone's plugged into my computer. I do need to wake him up, though. I was supposed to wake him up 10 minutes ago. Wes. Wes.
Wake up, Wes.
Wes.
Wake up.
Time to wake up, buddy. He had earphones in. That's why he couldn't hear you yelling at him.
Hey, ask Wes if he thinks Santi's going to be able to play tomorrow.
Wes, you think Santi's going to be ready for the 10-15, this is live, by the way, but do you think Santi will be ready for the 10:30 tip tomorrow night? Yeah, Wes said he's going to ask him today when he sees him.
Good luck. Oh, boy. Neil Mafia says, that was a quote from Field of Dreams, you barbarians. My bad.
Slipped the memory. D'Arval wanted me to tell Nelson not to worry because there are other people who sidetracked the show as well.
Yeah, that happens. That happens from time to time on here, man. It's part of it. It is part of it. DR Vol says he has a newborn. He was rushing to get some rest alone. Leave him be, Swain.
not the newborn. The newborn, all the newborn does is sleep.
That's easy, right?
Sleep, eat, and poop. That's it. It's the 1.5-year-old, the 20-month-old. I guess we're creeping up on 2 now. Man, oh, yeah. that dude, all over the place.
C-Mac says something that implies he's rooting for NC State, basically. How about that? Brandon Luckett,
who isn't rooting for NC State?
Oh, I am. I love the DJ Burns as a big boy getting buckets. I think it's awesome. I think it's great. It's kind of like having a big quarterback, like a big chunky quarterback. Because, like, everyone fits into this mold of being tall and slim. That's the only way that you can have success. And then this big chunky quarterback out there balling out. Or big chunky kicker. I think it's cool. In a game where you have to be in so much shape and be conditioned, well conditioned, I think it's great that DJ Burns out here giving people the business.
Are you saying that DJ Burns is the Jared Lorenzen of college basketball?
Rest in peace.
Hefty lefty?
He is a lefty. Rest in peace to Jared Lorenzen. Maybe. I thought it was awkward when Rich Eisen asked him, how did he gain so much weight? Or when did he gain so much weight? I was like, oh, Rich, I don't know about that one.
The moment he left the Tennessee basketball program.
That's right. But, hey, man, he makes it work. He is one of the biggest names in the tournament. And I'm rooting for him. I think a lot of people are rooting for NC State, except for, you know, North Carolina. But I'm rooting for North Carolina State. And basketball, just for a couple of games, because we play those guys in football here in a couple months. Von Birmingham says, "I really wish DJ would have stayed. Him and Jonas down low would be great." Yeah, I don't really wish he would have stayed. Like, I wish we could have this DJ Burns, but I don't know if DJ Burns, what he is like as a teammate, would he be able to live within the lines here in Tennessee? Like, there's a culture here in Tennessee basketball. And so, like, I don't know if he would have survived this year. We know he didn't. It didn't work out when he was here before. That's why he's not here. But, like, you take a Jonas Adu today and a DJ Burns today and a Waka, and you pair those three up together, oh, yeah. I would take that all day long. I would take that.
What's while you think about what your score prediction is for Tennessee Creighton, and I want to hear what you think about what's going to happen in the Gonzaga Purdue game. I am going to give a shout out on behalf of Jennifer Morris, who wanted to wish everybody a happy Easter to the Swain Event family, and feel free to reach out to her if you need anything on the real estate market. We talk about real estate needs with Jennifer all the time. And cannot recommend her services enough. She is the best. She will get you into a home. She will sell your home. She will help you do whatever that it is that you want to do. And she will do so by taking all the stress away out of the process. So can't encourage you to reach out to her enough or recommend Jennifer enough. She goes above and beyond. It doesn't feel like a business interaction. It feels like a friendship. She is family to my family. And always will be. And as long as Jennifer is doing what she is doing, I will always use Jennifer for our real estate needs, and simply cannot recommend enough using Jennifer if you have real estate needs. And it's not just me either. There are plenty members of the Swain Event family who have worked with Jennifer and have been over the moon happy with their results. So please reach out to Jennifer for all of your real estate needs.
Yeah, 100%, man. Yeah, I hope Jennifer is ready for you to move again after baby number 3. I think she will be. I think she'll be ready.
No need for baby number 3. I got 2 boys. I got my boy. I at least got 1 boy, so I'm good to go. Now, I already know it's a matter of time before wifey starts talking to me about wanting a girl. I know that's only a matter of time, but I can assure you that there will be no third baby McKee anytime soon. I can promise you. You know, you have a pretty significant gap between your first and your second and third. Mm-hmm. We will have a gap between our first and second and our third.
Yeah, but baby number one, baby number two, they're not hanging out with the same friends. I can tell you that much. They got different friends. Now, baby number two and three, they got the same type of friends and like the same type of stuff for the most part because they're the same age. But I understand what you're saying, my friend. I understand what you're saying. All right, Ben, Wes Rucker, wake him up. Tell him to go brush his teeth. Wash his face. Maybe take a shower.
Yeah, he's definitely showering before we get into
the
car.
Maybe use some soap this time. And y'all have a safe trip, man. And
what's your prediction?
Oh,
man, you're not getting off easy. Come on now.
77-73.
Not a whole lot of confidence in the Vols, apparently.
Vols. I got us winning by more than the spread. I got us winning more than KenPom has us winning.
You only think that Tennessee is 4 points better than Creighton? Based off of what you were saying at the beginning of the show.
That's your three late.
You should be picking Tennessee by 15 points based off of your energy earlier in the show.
4 points. 4 points in tournament is a lot. So I'll take
it. Oh, it is, huh?
Yeah. It's a lot. It's a lot. So,
who's Tennessee going to play?
Hopefully Gonzaga.
Gonzaga's been playing lights out of late.
I'm picking Gonzaga, man.
Really?
Yeah, I'm picking Gonzaga. It's time. It's time for Purdue to go home.
You know the refs aren't going to allow that to happen.
They haven't been calling fouls that much during the tournament. They've let them play.
They have not, which plays into Tennessee's physical defense. Very similar to Tennessee Duke a season ago, but appreciate you, my friend. I look forward to seeing you in that Garrett Crochet White Sox jersey later today.
I got the hat. Don't have a jersey.
Hope you enjoy the weekend.
I just got a hat, man. Do not have a jersey. Swain Event, fueled by Dead End Barbecue. For Ben McKee, I'm Jason Swain. Peace and love. We are out.